What's up, my brothers and sisters? Today, I want to take the opportunity to share with you a story from my personal life that has influenced, as I've reflected on it, it's really influenced the way I feel about public safety and one of the core principles of service that I think goes through everything that we do and influences everything we do as firefighters, as public servants in the public safety sphere. So, without further ado, let's get into it.
Welcome to the Fireground Fitness Podcast. I'm your host, Rain Gray. Here, we're going to talk about all things pertaining to life on and off the fireground. The opinions expressed are mine and those of the guest. So, let's get started.
So, those of us who work in public safety refer to what we do as service, public service. And I think sometimes we forget the service element. And I want to share a story with you that I often reflect back on that helps me understand the core value, the meaning of service. And this is something that took place to me when I was 17 years old. So let me just jump right into it. My good friend and I, Nick Curran, go out for a run on Christmas Eve. And you can tell we didn't have much of a life at the time because all that was important to us was going for a run on Christmas Eve. So we head out and we're running around the neighborhood and we climb this long hill that's called Roymore. And Roymore climbs up, plateaus, and tees into another street. And this street is lined with houses as you go down. And we're climbing this hill, and we get to where the road is about to break over to a flat spot. And we hear an explosion, and we hear glass falling, and we look up, and you can see flames rolling out of the second-story window and up and over the eaves of a house directly in front of us at the end of the street. So Nick goes one way and I go the other, and we go to these doors and we're pounding on doors and we're yelling, call 911, and there's a fire, and we meet at the front of this house. And standing there is a little boy. He's probably between 7 and 9 years old. And we grab him by the shoulders, I spin him around, I look him in the face and I said, hey, is there anybody in this house? And he says, yeah, my dad's in the house. So Nick and I, without exchanging any words, run down the side of the house and pass the side gate, and we arrive at a pool fence. We clear the pool fence. We hurdle over the pool fence and turn onto the patio and open the sliding glass door. And it was a very surreal circumstance to me at the time, but knowing what I know now, very common experience, right? All the lights were on in the house. The TV was running and the smoke detector was, I could hear a smoke detector in the background, and there was a light smoke throughout the downstairs, much like you had been cooking bacon or something like that. So we start screaming, is there anybody in the house? And we're looking and we go around I go one way and Nick goes around the other, and we arrive at the base of the stairs, and I head up the stairs. And I get 3 or 4 stairs up, and my head reaches the floor level of the second story. Now, the heat and gases had accumulated and begun to press down, and when my face breached the floor level, it was incredibly hot. And I had never experienced anything like that before in my life. And here I am in a t-shirt and shorts, completely ill-prepared for what we're doing here, with none of the skills, none of the appropriate PPE. This is not an appropriate place for a 17-year-old kid to be. So I run back down the stairs, and I run into Nick. Now, Nick has a wet towel over his face, and he hands me a wet towel. And this has had to be something that Nick picked up in kindergarten or something. And so I put the wet towel over my face and begin to go back up the stairs, and realize as soon as I meet the heat, this is not going to happen. This is a no-go. So I come back down the stairs, and we realize that we're not having any effect here. So we head toward the back door. We're going to go out the way we came in. Nick heads out the door, and I stop at the back door, and I, out of the corner of my eye, I saw a door that was closed. And I felt compelled to go and check that door. So I turn and I go back, and I open the door, and it opens up into a small guest bathroom, you know, tub shower combo with the toilet set back in the corner, and I can see just the front rim of the toilet. And I don't see anybody in here, and I scream into the bathroom and at the top of my lungs, and no response. But I feel the need to go all the way into the bathroom. So I go all the way in, and I look next to the toilet, and curled up next to the toilet is a little 3-year-old girl. So I grab her and I stuff her under my arm like a football, and I head back out and in an attempt to catch up with Nick. And somehow I hop over that fence without breaking stride and head out to the front yard. And now the entire community is standing out in front of this house. So Nick and I run out there. I set the little girl down next to her brother, who's standing with some neighbors. And then he and I turn and go back into the structure. We do a lap of the downstairs to no avail. And then the moments later, the front door comes blasting open. And there's this firefighter who I can only describe as enormous. Maybe it's my perspective has changed over the years, but man, this guy was a giant. And he lets out a litany of expletives followed with "get out." And it dawned on me that, we were not in a safe place. So we leave the structure at his request, and we head back out to the sidewalk. And there we're greeted by the sheriff's office, who pulls us aside, and, you know, the sheriff's deputy, you know, interviews us and asks us a bunch of questions and to ask us what happened, et cetera. And then the media pulls us aside, and we get interviewed by the media, and, the neighbors are clapping us on the back, and, you know, we're, you know, local heroes, right? We go back to school after the holiday, and the story had run in the newspaper, and everybody's telling us how amazing we are and how we're heroes. And we're walking around with our chests all swelled up, full of pride. And then we began to understand the story of what actually took place that night. And the mom was out doing some last minute Christmas shopping. And the little boy was, to this day, I don't know whether he was playing with matches or what he was doing, but he inadvertently lit the curtains on fire in that second story room. And the father was trapped in an upstairs bathroom where he died of smoke inhalation. And this is a very sad story. Very common, happens all the time. And at the time, I didn't understand the magnitude of it. And it wasn't until years later that I began to truly understand. And the understanding came from the mom, who every year at Christmas time sent a Christmas card to me. And I assume to Nick as well. Nick and I never spoke about it. But she sent us a Christmas card. And in that Christmas card every year, she expressed her profound gratitude that we had rescued her daughter. Now, knowing what I know about smoke and fire, she was behind a hollow core door in a bathroom downstairs, very remote from the fire location. There was light smoke down there. She was not in harm's way. Not to mention the fact that the firefighters were there less than a minute after Nick and I went running around in there. So she was in the safest spot as she could have ever been. So let me just say, I did not rescue that girl. However, in the eyes of that mom, Nick and I rescued her daughter. In the face of tragedy, what took place was somebody tried to do something on behalf of her family. And that resulted in her having her two beautiful children with her. in that tragic event. So what? Right? So what? So I reflect on this and I think, man, we are hurtling past one another. There's billions of people on this planet and we are passing by one another at breakneck speed all day, every day, and are not taking into consideration the impact that we can have on each other, the impact that we can have on our family and our friends and our neighbors on this tiny blue dot. Now, as professional public safety providers, we have the opportunity and the calling to serve in our community. To me, this is a great honor, particularly when I consider how vulnerable people are and how we have a set of knowledge and skills and abilities that can have a true impact in our community. So the takeaway to me is we have to be thinking about those around us. We have to set ourselves aside and reach out to those in need and serve them with vigor, because the impact that you can have is tremendous. So I don't want to belabor the point, but I do want to say that that knowledge, skills, and abilities you have are only good, only as good as the sharpness on their edge. So build your skill set. Keep them tight, because you have the capacity as a professional public safety provider to truly impact people's lives. Go forth, serve your community, serve those around you, serve your family, serve your friends, and absolutely fulfill the mission and serve those who you have sworn to protect. Get some. Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Fireground Fitness Podcast today. Get on iTunes, leave your comments, leave your ratings, etc. Help support the podcast in that way. Fire me a DM if you want any further information. Fire me a DM if you want to say, hey, if you got any commentary about the direction this podcast is traveling, I would love to hear it. Feel free to reach out. RainGray@FiregroundFitness.com. I'm also on Instagram. Where else? You can find this podcast on all kinds of podcast platforms. Subscribe, and this podcast will drop in the middle of the night when you are up and out and serving the public. This podcast will drop into your podcast feed. Anyways, thanks. My brothers and sisters, be safe. Get some.